always got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com.
Steve, I want you to go back in time and tell me what you were doing in the year 1977. What were you up to?
Well, listen, I don't think either one of us were even close to born yet. So
it's a big year.
It's
a big deal. But actually, I'm going to go back to a different time. I'm going to go back to seventh grade.
Okay. Yeah, I remember seventh grade.
Do you remember that?
Sure.
We were good friends in seventh grade.
Completely.
In seventh grade, I was in band.
Yeah.
I played the trombone very well.
Yeah.
It's not true. I didn't play it very well, but I was in the band.
You had one.
I had one, and I made lots of noise out of it. And my band teacher said, okay, we're going to do a medley of music from Star Wars.
Oh, that's fun.
And I had not seen the movies. It's not, for whatever reason, the Star Wars madness missed me.
Oh.
In my youth. And so I heard all of the music, poorly played by a seventh grade band, but I heard all of the music to Star Wars before I ever saw any of the movie.
Oh, I'm sure that made people happy.
Yeah.
Because people are nothing if they don't love that music, right?
Yeah, it's great.
People get fanatical about it.
Even in the seventh grade, with the seventh grade band. Star Wars is something that is... It's a cultural phenomenon that has taken over the world and has held on since its beginning in 1977. It just captured the imagination of the entire world, and everybody that saw it enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Which is hard to say of anything
else.
Uh-huh. It's just incredible. And I, like I said, I didn't watch it as a child, so I don't have any of the childhood nostalgia for it. I didn't end up watching it as an adult, because I just never had a desire to.
Right.
But now that we have Disney Plus, we have all these movies available to us. And so I thought it would be fun to finally watch the original trilogy of Star Wars.
And I would say that I gave it a shot when I was 14 years old. I watched them then, and I did officially watch them.
Yeah.
I had no idea what was happening. Completely no idea.
Yeah.
At least now I've had the additional time to learn the characters and learn the difference of, you know, who the Resistance is and how, because in my mind, it honestly felt like all the guys in matching uniforms should have been the ones that were the good guys.
Mm.
So basically like the
guys in the white uniforms, the stormtroopers,
right? All the stormtroopers, since they were all matching and they were all clean, they all look like the right.
Okay.
And then you're like, no, they're the bad guys, and you're like, oh, that's so odd.
Yeah. And I got really confused even as an adult, because I saw some of the prequels before
first. Yeah.
And so I would say, well, is this character mentioned in the other movies? No. Oh, well, do they talk about this in the other movies? No.
Mm.
Okay. Well, then why are these movies here? Like, I was so confused. Yeah.
That's not part of that one. That's a part of this.
Yeah.
Very confusing. Yeah. It's gotten very layered. Yeah.
And that's the thing about these movies, is that they've become very, very complex. Even just in the movie universe, they've expanded on things and made them more intricate and more complex. And then they have books, and they have all sorts of things that have, you know, fleshed out this universe to such an extreme degree,
right,
that for people that aren't invested into searching deep into it, it can be very overwhelming.
Yeah.
And so I thought,
that's how I was at 14 years old.
Yeah.
Well, plus the picture quality we had on TVs back then.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff.
Really,
we were watching
grainy
on VHS tape, and we had to borrow them from a friend down the street.
A borrowed VHS tape?
This is legitimately the first time how I...
This,
and then we started watching
awful
them at like 10 o'clock at night, and so I fell asleep like halfway through, and then it felt like it was the same movie over again. It was weird.
So I figured, why not start at the beginning, the movie that started it all, and actually watch the movie? You know, not be on my phone while it's on, actually watch the movie, which is hard for me to do, but I can do it. You know? And so we sat down to watch it. Apparently the subtitle was put on afterward, but Star Wars A New Hope is the original.
Okay. Do people in the fan world get upset about that title?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Because I don't think I've ever heard that title.
No?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I've never heard anybody refer to it as that.
Oh.
But
it says it on there. I didn't make that up. Disney, you need to spend me some money.
Yeah, totally.
Because it's all over your stuff.
But if you're a big Star Wars fan, let us know. I'm dying to know if you're offended by
Why would that be offensive?
I'm not offended, just upset, maybe, or you know what I mean? Like, people are like, oh, it's the original Star Wars. This is the actual Star Wars.
Oh, they didn't want the under title thing. Okay.
And because if more people embraced it, I probably would have heard it more often, I think. Huh. But anyway.
I mean, I've been around a lot of Star Wars fans, so I think I've heard it before. But
that's probably true.
I honestly haven't paid enough attention to it until you just said that. So
yeah.
Who knows? A New Hope or Star Wars. Episode 4, apparently, is what it's called, which...
I'm telling
you
that.
I'm telling you right now, nerddom, fandom people, why you gotta make it so complicated? Like,
it's not their fault. George Lucas did.
I know, but it's already math. I gotta know Roman numerals to enjoy your movies now. Anyway, so we sat down to watch, and full disclosure, these are the remastered ones that they have on Disney Plus, which means George Lucas went back in and added digital effects into these movies after the fact to kind of plus the world and make it more inhabited or improve some effects or, you know, whatever. And some of them are glaringly obvious and can be a bit off-putting.
Yeah.
But overall, I wasn't too upset about them. The bones of the movie are still the same.
Right.
So I don't think the visual effects were that big of a deal.
I wonder how difficult it is to get a copy of the original unenhanced version.
I hear it's very hard, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Especially on formats.
Mm.
It's very difficult because everything that's been digitized has been these...
The newer ones.
Yeah.
Because that's when they did it. Yeah, that would make total sense.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to go back and watch it on VHS.
No.
From a borrowed copy down the street.
Yeah, let's find a neighbor that we can go down and borrow a worn VHS copy of and their VCR at this point, because I ain't got one.
That's a great point.
But this is my first question. So at the very beginning of the movie, we see a spaceship. I'm sure there's a name for it, but I don't know what it is. And C-3PO and R2-D2 are kind of going through the halls of this thing. And behind C-3PO, there is another robot that looks just like C-3PO, except he's silver.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, who is that? And I don't know if that was added in afterward with other effects, or if he was actually there. I wasn't paying that close of attention. So if someone wants to tell me if that's a real character or if they just stuck it in later,
because
I like the silver 3PO. I think he's kind of cool looking.
He's pretty fun. Why don't we sell that in the parks?
Because he's not... Apparently, because he's only in the movie for 30 seconds and then he's gone. You never see him again.
That's right.
But this whole first movie, from what I gathered, revolves around the Death Star plans. Heavy spoilers, by the way.
From 1977.
For anyone that hasn't seen it, I hadn't seen it, so I'm not going to assume that you have. But spoilers for those of you that haven't seen it. It revolves around the Death Star plans. The rebels have taken them. The Empire is mad about it, and they're trying to get them back.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, the Empire built a giant spaceship that has a hole in it that if you shoot through this very specific hole, the whole thing blows up.
It's a great plan.
What? And
you're not buying that part of it?
I have to say, I've seen other versions of Star Wars done by other people comedies, parodies, that kind of stuff. And everyone brings up this fact that they're like, what, there's just a hole? There's a hole you can just shoot through? And I have to agree that
that part doesn't seem to make sense.
It seems like a bad idea.
Yeah.
It seems like poor planning. You might want to get back with your architect on that one, because that's a bad idea. So Princess Leia apparently has the plans, hides them in R2-D2 and sends them off the ship before she's captured.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a great thing, because through a series of unfortunate events, R2-D2 is bought by Luke Skywalker's aunt and uncle. Right?
Right, yep. That is what happened.
Yeah.
And, I do remember that.
R2 tells him that he has a message for Ben Kenobi. And I don't know how common the last name Kenobi is in the Star Wars universe. But
it's like Smith.
Is it?
I don't know.
Because it sounds very unique.
Right.
And he's like, I don't know an Obi-Wan Kenobi, but I know a Ben Kenobi. It's like, well, they're really? Like, Kenobi can't be that common of a last name, can it?
It could
be. I don't know space last names.
Right.
So we'll have to check our family histories and see.
To find out how in depth that is.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he happens to run right into Ben Kenobi.
There you go.
Who is the Obi-Wan Kenobi. For some reason, he changed his name. I assume it's because they were hunting down Jedi and he's trying to hide out.
Yeah, if you're running from the law, you change your name.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that.
Oh,
tip number one.
I've been doing it wrong, apparently.
This whole time.
My name is Ned Schneebly now.
Oh, my name.
And I totally expected to see Yoda in this movie. So I kept on waiting for him to show up. And apparently he's not even in this movie.
Yeah, that's true.
He's not even in it.
Didn't see him once.
How disappointing is that?
Well, now we have something to look for in the next video. On the next one.
That's true.
So that'd be fun.
So pretty quickly, Luke decides that he wants to be a Jedi. This thing that he has no information about, using the Force, which he has no idea about. He's all gung-ho about it.
Yeah.
Granted, they do go and kill his aunt and uncle. So maybe it's driven by
anger,
grief.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
I can see that. Yeah.
And so they have to, get the plans to Alderaan. That's their quest.
Right.
So they have to get a ship. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go to, a city nearby to try to find a ship to get to Alderaan. And this is where you get that cool scene that I know, but I've never seen, where he's like, these aren't the droids you're looking for. You don't need to see his identification with the Jedi mind tricks.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh, okay. That's where this is from.
Yeah.
You know, because otherwise there's no way they would have gotten in there. Do you think that the Jedi mind trick was a plot device to justify how they get to where they're supposed to be going? Or do you think that that's just always been part of what the Jedi thing was?
It was probably an introduction to it. And listen, if I saw that mind trick, I would be like, yeah, I'll join this. Whatever this is, I'm joining officially. Yeah,
The lottery.
Seriously. Because then we go right into the cantina right after that, right?
Yeah, and I think the first music that I remember playing in the band
was from the cantina music?
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, that
there
thing.
There you go.
Yeah.
Is this where they get the inspiration from, the cantina at Galaxy's Edge now?
I think the basic concept is the same. I don't think that it's the same one, because the cantina in Galaxy's Edge is owned by a specific person.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember who it is off the top of my head right now.
But that's not taken from a movie necessarily.
No,
so it could be loosely based on this cantina.
Yeah, I think it's generally, it's a bar. So it's a bar layout with the circular bar in the middle. You know, So it's, you know, I'm sure
preparing our cantinas.
Yeah. It's a wink and a nod to this one.
Okay. Because I will say, when we finally saw the Millennium Falcon in this one and then we rode the ride, you're like, oh, dang, that room is awesome.
It looks exactly like it.
It made the ride so much cooler.
Because they do run into Chewie and Han.
Yeah.
And they're going to get off the planet with Chewie and Han in the Millennium Falcon. This is the one time, though, that I did notice some real extreme editing.
Yeah.
Is in the cantina. Apparently, there's a big discussion, or there used to be a big discussion between Star Wars people about whether or not Han shot first or not.
I have heard about this. Yeah.
And in the remakes, they make the alien Greedo, I believe is his name, shoot first.
Oh, I see.
And which is fine by me. I don't care. But what's funny is that to make it look like it was more dangerous, they move Han's head slightly to the right when he shoots.
Okay.
So it looks like the alien was trying to shoot him in the head and he dodged and then shot back.
Okay.
And it doesn't look great.
I see. I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
So they went and edited that scene and that's when they added it.
Yeah. Mm. And that one kind of made me chuckle a little bit in a way that probably it shouldn't have. You know, it's kind of like, oh, well, that effect doesn't hold up very well. But they do get off the planet.
He holds up well. He survives.
He looks great.
Yeah.
Even with his head moved artificially to the right, his face still looks great. Harrison Ford's always great.
There you go.
And so they head towards Alderaan, right?
Uh-huh.
Little do they know that in order to try to get Princess Leia to tell them where the Rebel base is, they just blew up Alderaan. It's gone.
Right.
They blew up the whole planet with their Death Star.
That's crazy.
These
ships are pretty massive.
Yeah. At first they think it's a moon, and then they're like, oh, wait, no. That's a spaceship.
That's a spaceship.
Whoops.
So fantastic.
And so they managed to save Princess Leia off the Death Star, get to a Rebel base, and then they, for the final act, they have their assault on the Death Star, where they're trying to get to this specific hole and shoot things in it. Right? That's the whole goal.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a couple passes of people missing and whatnot. Oh, I totally forgot. Darth Vader kills Obi-Wan in the process of getting Leia out.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Which is weird, too, by the way.
This is when we realize he's a bad guy.
Well, I think we knew he was immediately. A bad guy. With the music they give Darth Vader, you know he's a bad guy.
Oh, it's the best music ever. Oh, it's so good.
What's weird about it is when they're fighting, Obi-Wan just kind of stops and lets himself be hacked.
Mm.
And I don't know what that's about. He seemed to be at peace with dying at that moment. I don't know what the deal was. Maybe we find out later on why.
Okay.
But anyway, Luke keeps on hearing his voice in his head, which for most people would be concerning, but Luke seems like he's fine with it.
Yeah.
And in the process, he tells him to not use his targeting systems in his spaceship, but to use the Force to shoot the thing. Right?
Again, maybe I'm just really gullible, but after that original Jedi mind trick, I'd be like, yeah, whatever. From this point on, yep. If I hear your voice in my head, I'm following it. I'm following it all the way.
Here's the trick to getting Steve to do whatever you want.
Convince me of it.
Just plan some sort of situation where you do a mind trick on somebody and he is all about it.
Right.
That's
true.
So Luke turns off all of his targeting systems and, of course, shoots the thing straight where he's supposed to, and the whole Death Star explodes right before they're all about to die.
Yeah.
Big deal.
I was intrigued by that. I thought that the Death Star was so iconic that it was used throughout the majority of the movies.
Yeah.
And then to find out we only see it in the first one, you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Well, yeah.
Probably a lot of money lost on that one.
You think so? Bad investment.
Bad investment.
The Death Star.
They should have really worked that out a little bit more. Started with a smaller model. But then I also thought this was kind of silly. When he gets back, R2 was basically shot in the head
mm-hmm.
during the battle. And they lift him out and they're like, yeah, I'll be fine. And so they all just walk off and laugh and hug and stuff. And it's like, that little robot just got shot in the head and you don't even care.
Yeah.
he obviously has a personality, and you guys are just like, haha, put a new microchip in, he'll be fine, as you run off. And it's like, you could be a little bit more concerned about R2-D2.
Yeah, not in the 70s.
No?
I guess not.
Was it not the season of love? Where's all the hippie love?
Well, that's true. That was the 60s.
Oh, 60s. That's right. The hippies were, okay.
At that point, we were shocking robots.
Okay. and then we get to the final little bit where they get their medals for blowing up the Death Star, right?
They deserve them, yeah.
After watching it for the first time, I can totally see why people enjoy it. It's a good ride. The pacing's really good.
And that's 42 years after it was made.
Right. The pacing's great. There's not a part where you're going, ugh, get on with it. They move at a pretty good clip through things.
Yeah.
The characters are all really well portrayed. And they give enough texture to all of them that it's not, like, boring.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they are very standard character tropes,
mm-hmm.
they make sure that they're not boring to watch do whatever it is that they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, they were very fun.
Princess Leia, you know, she's feisty and she shoots and she claps back to people and she's defiant, and it's like, okay, that's kind of a cool princess kind of character, you know?
I think so.
Yeah.
Have they added her to the princess family at Disney?
Oh gosh, they really should, right? Shouldn't they?
I'm adding her officially.
Princess Leia, Disney princess. I think they probably have done something to honor her, especially with her recent passing and stuff.
Oh, good point.
But having seen the newer movies, it's interesting to see the characters from this movie arc into what we have seen, because we've seen the newer films.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've seen those.
Except for the latest one. And so to go, oh, well, this is where they end up is very interesting.
And it was helpful. It's the reason I followed so much of it, obviously. I mean, I'd seen in the theaters originally in 77, it would be committed to memory for sure. But,
yeah.
You know, and you already know that because of the... I love you. What did I say during the movie? And I said, well, there's
because
no suspense.
Of Disney's t-shirts, I know that they fall in love.
Spoiler shirts is what those were. I love you. I know.
Yeah.
I've seen that part
well,
for
but
years
that's the thing
now.
About watching these movies now is that a lot of the suspense and the surprise is taken out of it because it's so well known.
Right.
That we know who Darth Vader is. We know that Luke's not going to die in the trash compactor. We know all these things because we know.
And for me, it makes the movie a lot more enjoyable, actually.
Not so stressful?
No stressful at all.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, because I would really feel bad if they did get stuck in the trash compactor. I would have felt awful.
It would have been a bad time. What a way to go. Squished with a bunch of garbage and a monster thing. Anyway.
Yeah.
It was a very interesting movie. Definitely worth a watch if you haven't seen it, right? Because I hadn't, and now I have. And I say, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally get it, you guys. Next time, we're going to watch the next one. I don't know I think it's the Return of the Jedi, or...
That sounds right.
Good grief. Don't yell at me, guys.
We'll learn it.
I don't know.
We're going to learn it and get back to you.
Yeah. We'll get right back to you. But it's like I always say, may the Force be with you.
Follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app. And if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique. And we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.